Ecclesiastes 10:20. The book of Ecclesiastes. I'm going to preface the text with the Lord Jesus with his words of Matthew 15 in verse 18. You can just listen. If you want to go there, you can. Jesus said, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." But then he backs up. He says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts." So there's the thoughts which motivate that which comes out of the mouth. Of course, this was when the Pharisees were watching the disciples and they were saying they were eating without washing their hands. Jesus says, what defiles the man's not how he eats, it's what comes out of his mouth, and that's evidence of what's in his heart. Now Ecclesiastes 10:20. "Curse not the king, know not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber." Both secret places. You don't know what I think in my heart. I don't know what you think in your heart or your thoughts in your mind. We can keep a cap on that. "And then curse not the rich in thy bedchamber," which is also a private place. Of course, you might be talking to your wife there, your husband. And then Solomon says, "For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter." Let's pray. Father, please help us. Father, as you pierce into our hearts with your word, I pray that you would do it, Lord. I have no power to do it. We pray for the Spirit of God. Our desire is that, Father, we would be changed. We would be fashioned into your image. Teach us, Father, to keep thy word, to love thy word, to study thy word. Help us to understand the words of Solomon, the word of God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There's always a little birdie. There's always an ear listening. We had a meeting one day. I remember this vividly. I thought about this. That when I was still a superintendent at the Aircraft Maintenance Squadron, the Air National Guard, we had a meeting. It was a private meeting. It was a meeting where you talk about the five-year plan, where you talk about, there's just a couple of commanders and a couple of chief master sergeants, and you talk about that, and you kind of, you align people as to where they're going to be and how they're going to be promoted. And it wasn't 5 minutes after that meeting, I walked out, and somebody told me everything about what was in the meeting. And I thought about the people. We called later on that day. We got everybody back together. I said, "Who went out there and told them?" They said, "I didn't." And somebody else testified that same thing happened to them. Somebody already knew about they were going to promote somebody up. And I'm like, where did that come from? And so we thought somebody's got the room bugged. So anyway. But beloved, what we do in secret, what we do as we sin in secret, it'll be told. The scriptures teach us that. We'll get to that. This is the wisdom of Solomon. Don't curse, or as it means, don't treat with contempt or dishonor the king, those that are in authority. And don't curse or treat with contempt the rich, because there are the rich. And there's the temptation to look at the rich and those that have much in earthly treasure to curse them or to dishonor them or to think evil thoughts about them or say bad things about them. Solomon says don't do that. It's a Christian identifier for us not to think that way about authorities and not to talk that way about the rich or noble. Rich, noble, really they kind of fall into the same category, because many times those that are the princes, the kings, those that are in authority, they're also the rich. But it's a Christian identifier or an identifying characteristic that we don't think like that. Now, I'll confess to you, I have thought like that. And I've struggled with that. But I don't want to think like that. I don't want to, as the scriptures in the New Testament, we'll see in a moment, they teach us not to think or speak like that of dignities. In fact, in Exodus 22, in the law, when it was being given to Moses, the scripture says, "Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people." It doesn't really matter who it is. So don't curse the ruler of thy people. Don't think that way. And the point of me reading Matthew earlier is that which comes out of the mouth originated in the heart, or that's connected to the thoughts. As a man or woman thinketh in their heart, so is he or she. Listen, if we think a certain way, eventually it's going to come out. We're going to be told we're our worst betrayers. We can say that we're one way, but we betray ourselves and people know how we really are. So we need to be careful. To think evil of those that are in authority over you, or in Solomon's day, to think evil of the king, because they lived in a time of kingdoms. Most of the time of the civilized world, the kingdoms of the world were kingdoms. And our democracy, where we have an elected representative republic, is very young, a little more than 200 years. But to think evil of those who are in authority over us, beloved, in our present day, to think evil of the president, the governor, or of our leaders, those who are in authority, and to curse the rich in private reveals pride in our hearts. In other words, if we curse the king, we curse the president. In other words, we dishonor them by our words or by our thoughts. In fact, when it talks about the authority, it talks about we just think that. Well, we shouldn't think that. And when we do, it reveals pride in our hearts. And think about it. How? How does that reveal pride in my heart if I think that way? How does it reveal pride in your heart if you think that way? Well, if you curse the king in your thoughts, or those who are in authority over you, or if you curse the rich in private, your sin and your resistance, or your evil thoughts and words, are actually against God. And you might say, well, how so again? Because God has appointed every ruler over us. Everyone that comes to the throne, every president that sits in the White House, every governor that sits in the governor's mansion. Yes, we vote in a representative republic. That's true. But God sets them up and God takes them down. In fact, when you look at Romans 13, look there. We'll look at just a couple of verses, Romans 2 Peter and then Jude, but look at Romans 13, and we went over this when we went through the book of Romans, but it's always good to read these again. The Word of God is living, it is alive, and we have need of repetitive teaching. So verse 1 of chapter 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. And he says, the powers that are ordained, the powers that be rather, are ordained of God. That includes every political leader that leads our nation, any nation. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now that's not where I want to be. 2 Peter 2:9, look there. 2 Peter 2:9. Peter talks about those that were false prophets, false teachers. He talks about the angels not being spared that sinned against God and were cast out of heaven. Verse 9, Peter says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The unjust, and one of the characteristics of the unjust in verse 10, chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Now, if I'm speaking evil of dignities, it's because I first thought evil of dignities. And so we're warned here, that's not to be an identifying characteristic of me a Christian, of you a Christian. That's not how we are to be. Jude, verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8. Of course, there's only one chapter. Jude here talks about the wicked who will be judged, the unjust. He says in verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignity. See that? Despise authority. Listen, a Christian shouldn't be marked by despising authority. We shouldn't be. As for speaking evil of the rich, it simply reveals what? If I despise the rich and I look at someone that has more than me, what does that show about me? I'm discontent. I'm discontent with what God has given me. And beloved, I don't want to be there. It reveals envy, jealousy, covetous, greed, perhaps in my heart. And think about it. Why am I cursing the rich? Because I want their riches. That's why. If I had them, I sure would be okay. So, beloved, we need to be careful of that. Listen, don't forget this about money from verse 19. Indeed, money answereth all things. Remember, how you think and deal with your money will reveal your heart. So, what you think or speak of God's sovereign authority will be revealed in how you think and speak of earthly authorities. Listen, I believe that to be true. A reflection of how we think about God's authority, if we honor God, then you know what? We'll honor the King. It says that in Peter. If we dishonor authorities, we're really dishonoring God, because we're saying, God, why'd you put him in office? Why is he the king? Why is he the governor? So you're really resisting God. Y'all understand that, right? I mean, so listen, we need to be careful. And so your evil thoughts and my evil thoughts and words spoken in private or thought in private won't remain private, but your disloyalty and resistance to the wisdom of providence will be made public. In other words, if this is how I think, if I think evil in my heart and I speak evil in my bedchamber in private, in secret, and we talk about that, the Bible says the bird of the air is going to go tell the matter. In fact, Matthew 12:36, the Lord talks about us speaking idle words, sinful words, and we should not want to speak those words. Listen, there's a time to speak and there's a time to refrain from speaking. We need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. But listen, I'm just like you. It's easy, the door opened back there, but it's easy to be tempted. It's easy to fall into that trap of walking into a political conversation and getting on board to speak evil of the powers that are over us. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 26, Jesus said, but I say unto you that every idle word, an idle word is a word or conversation that produces nothing good. That's what an idle word or conversation, it means thoughtless words, it means useless words. So every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So though you thought it or though you spoke it here in secret or in conversation, it will be brought back up. For verse 37 says, for by thy words shalt thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So Solomon here is teaching us discipline in our thoughts and discipline in our tongue. And listen, the first has to happen if the second's going to happen. You know what James says, the tongue is a little member that boasteth great things. And in the tongue, James says, is a world of iniquity. And you know why it's there in the tongue? Because it's there in the heart. The tongue doesn't act alone by itself. And so, beloved, we need to think about those things. Discipline of our thoughts and discipline of our tongue. But listen, those things won't happen unless your heart is first devoted to Christ. So if there will be discipline of tongue and discipline of thoughts, there must first be devotion to Christ. Beloved, if we believe that God is sovereign and in complete control over all the affairs of the world, why would we think evil against those whom He has raised to power? Listen, there's a reason. We don't always know the reason, but we must trust that God does. When God decides, and I hate to use that word decide, but when God providentially appoints someone to power, God has His purposes. He's got His purpose for us in the church. He's got His purpose for His people. It might not be comfortably good for His people that God has put certain men, certain women in leadership. But it's good for His people, because all things work together for good to them that love God. Even when God appoints one over His people that are against Christianity. And listen, all of us would love to have Christian leaders, right? I mean, look, if I could vote, if God said, hey, you vote, would you like the world to get better and would you like to have a Christian president and Christian leaders? Well, yes. But it's not going to happen. Because the Bible tells us it's not going to happen. And so we need to trust in our God. In fact, the people of God in Israel went through this. God appointed over them Nebuchadnezzar when he came and ransacked the temple and overran Jerusalem and took the people into captivity for 70 years. Look at Jeremiah 28. Let me just, Jeremiah 25 rather. Just a few passages in Jeremiah. Listen, this is instructional. It's helpful for us to see this. And think of the overarching reason why we don't become Christian activists, why we don't get involved with conversations that dishonor or curse the authorities, why we don't curse the rich. Why is it, brethren? Think about the reason why. Because this is not our home. So our kingdom's not of this world. Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world, or else my servants would fight. You remember that phrase? He says, listen, I could call 12 legions of angels right now, but my kingdom's not from here. And that should be us when God raises up those in authority. Anyway, look at verse 8. This is when Israel was being taken into captivity. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, because ye have not heard my words, and listen, it was because of their sin that they went into captivity. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar here, king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and hissing and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, and the sound of millstones, and the light of the candle, and the whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. 26 and 6. Look at 26 and verse 6. That's not right. Go to 29:4. That's where I want to be. Yeah, 29:4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. When? While you're in captivity. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, in Babylon. And pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof ye shall have peace. And so God put Nebuchadnezzar, and God calls him three times my servant. God used Nebuchadnezzar as the rod for Israel, for their sins. And God even told the people of Israel in Jeremiah 42, he says, don't try and resist. Don't try and go to Egypt. It's not going to be good for you. You need to submit to the king of Babylon. And so all those that did were saved, and all those that didn't, they fell by the sword. Listen, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, this is Daniel 4, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. The basest of men. So the king, the president, the governor is in office because God put him there. Our place is not to curse or speak evil of our leaders. Ours is to be faithful witnesses and ambassadors of Christ in this present evil world, no matter who our leaders are. Listen, did the Lord Jesus resist Caesar? Did Caesar have Jesus to worry about? No. He didn't resist him. In fact, he said, render unto Caesar the honor and the things that are due unto him, and render unto God the things that are God's. Therefore, beloved, we must follow the example of our Lord and walk in his steps and not think or speak evil of our leaders or of the rich and noble. Now, I'm going to get on Christian activism here just for a moment, and then we'll be done. This is why I am against Christian activism. What do I mean by Christian activism? Christians spending all of their energies advocating to legislate Christianity into the world. Now we look and we don't disagree with what they're saying, but that's not what we're called to do. Listen, we're in the world, but not of it. The world's not going to become Christian. But this is where animus and anger are conceived in the hearts of Christians against rulers and leaders whom God has set up. Why? Because they're political activists. And those whom God has put in authority, they begin to speak evil of them. And they're out there speaking things that they should not. Listen, if we're given over to this idea of Christian activism in the world, then when the world refuses to comply with what we want, this is where evil thoughts begin to enter our minds. And this is where evil speakings come out of our mouths toward the noble and the rich, rather than the gospel coming out of our mouths. That's what we should be out in front of the Supreme Court. If you're going to do anything, go and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel of Christ, beloved. That's the answer, not a new bill. But we're trying to legislate Christianity into the world. Listen, when we do that, it changes our thinking. It changes our speaking. We become Christian political activists. It may seem noble, but this is where so many Christians are derailed from seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what we should be doing. This is where so many Christians who are political activists stop being spiritually minded. Listen, we're to see the world for what it is, and we are to behave in the world as Christ commanded us to. Go out into the world and preach the gospel. You're going to be like sheep in the midst of wolves. God has prepared for us a table in the presence of our enemies. He's deposited the church militant here not to take over, to preach the gospel. That's how we fight. We don't advance our causes in the Congress. We advance our cause through spreading the gospel, beloved. We preach the word of God. We witness the word of God. That's how God's kingdom is advanced in the world. Listen, many Christians become politically minded and so end up cursing the king. They become politically motivated. And then they develop political enemies. Listen, as a Christian, you should hear nothing from me about those whom I view as a political enemy. Listen, the highest politician in the nation is a human being that needs Christ. And that's how we need to view them. Instead of thinking and speaking evil about our leaders in secret and about the rich in private, beloved, we ought to be praying for our leaders in secret and praying for those that are deceived by riches in private. Bottom line up front, God commands us multiple times to not speak evil of dignities, to not speak evil of kings, those that are in authority, to not think or speak evil of the rich. Listen, that in and of itself should be the greatest influence upon us to be obedient to God's command. And listen, beloved, and I'll finish here. The bird of the air will tell the matter. What you think and speak in secret shall be known. We saw that in Matthew. And here's the king that you know is going to hear. It's God. He hears. I always think of that story when Ahasuerus could not sleep. And this is in the book of Esther. He said to the scribe, I'm tired. Read something to me that'll put me to sleep. Read the Chronicles. Read. They recorded everything that went on in the kingdom. They wrote everything down. He says, just read it to me. It'll put me to sleep. And he's sitting there and he hears these two guys. They were hiding out behind the wall there and they were going to kill you, king. And he goes, what? Well, who stopped that? Well, Mordecai. And we know what happened after that. So, beloved, God hears, God listens. The chronicles of the kingdom of this world, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro in the earth. He beholds all things, the evil and the good. Listen, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. See, this is piercing to me because I don't want to think like this. I want to think like a child of the kingdom of God. And there is nothing. All things are naked, Hebrews 4:13, and laid open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And so, beloved, it doesn't matter if no one in this world ever hears the secrets that you've thought about or spoken, God heard them. And every idle word shall be brought to light in the day of judgment. Psalm 139, and we'll be through. While you're going there, I'll read you Psalm 90. Psalm 139. Psalm 90 says, Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Psalm 90 and verse 8. But Psalm 139, I love this passage. The psalmist here, David, says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Listen, God knows you better than you know you. So God has searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting. Thou knowest mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. He knows it before we've thought it. He understands my thought. God is right there in my mind. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. So first was the thought, now is the tongue. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. I'll just read you Luke 12. I thought of this passage in verse 2. The Lord here says, For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. So, beloved, back to Ecclesiastes. We'll just read that passage again. Ecclesiastes 10:20. Bottom line is, what we do in secret, it tells who we are, and it will be known, maybe not in this life, but at the day of judgment. So curse not the king, know not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. I pray God would help us with this. Beloved, I want my thoughts to be pure thoughts. Listen, there's so much politics going on right now. It's a trap. And you know what? Satan will trap you in it because you think that you have a righteous cause to dishonor or curse a politician or me. And it's wrong, beloved. Don't do it. Don't fall into it. Because then that's what you'll be known. We're not political activists, beloved. We're witnesses for Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ. Christ didn't do it. We never see Him do it. And so neither should we. Help us, Lord, to magnify Your name. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. I pray that it would pierce into our hearts. And Lord, so that we might honor You, Lord. Help us not to speak against authorities because it's really speaking against You, Lord. Nor the rich. Oh God, we confess. I confess my sins in this matter. I pray that You would forgive me. Help Your people. Bless them. Keep us safe as we go home in the rainstorm. And we'll give You the praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.